I'll tell you what, we have a great church. For those of you that are watching from different points around the country and all locations, that was Pastor Lee, which is one of our senior leaders here at Victory Life for 30 years approximately. Myself, Jim Robinson, I've been on the senior lead team for multiple years now. And guys, I want to assure you that our church is in very, very good hands. And our pastor, there's two things he wants out of us. And one is for you to pray, because we saw what your prayers can do through Baby You Rise. I mean, give yourself a hand for that one more time. I tell you what, my wife and I, we would just get overwhelmed with that sometimes. Just recently, I was in a hospital with my newest grandchild being born. And boy, the numbers just kept dropping. They put it in the NICU, yeah, I guess that's how you say that. I thought I would have gotten used to it, and the numbers not eating at all. Of course, my wife's praying, my daughter's praying, my son-in-law's praying, and our family's praying, and not very many people know where we are. But as I went in there, and I had not taken the flu shot, so I didn't want to get too close. I just don't really like flu shots, but I'm sitting there, and I'm letting the Holy Spirit talk to me about what to do and how to pray. And what I was reminded of is when Peter... mother-in-law was sick, and Jesus came in and he just touched her. The fever left and she rose up and began to serve. Yes. And so I'm standing there by the bed, and I know everybody else is praying, so it's not just my prayers, but I just reached out and touched little Tucker, and I said, inside, I said, because Jesus didn't say anything in that prayer. He prayed inside, I'm sure, and I said, inside, I said, Lord, I'm letting life flow from me into Tucker right now as I touch him, just like Jesus touched Peter's mother-in-law. She was healed. And within just a few minutes, the numbers turned around. The nurse called, said, what did you guys do? Are y'all praying? The baby started eating almost immediately. Now, I'm telling you this. It wasn't near as severe as what Urias faced. It could have gotten severe, but it didn't get to that point. And what we're facing today with our wonderful, lovely pastor is nothing else that is unlike what prayer can take care of. We have the ability to speak, and we have the ability to bring the very presence of God wherever we walk, to manifest the presence of God wherever we walk, through people just like you and people just like me. And I'm just a common, ordinary cowboy. I mean, who would think that God could use someone like me? And yet, he chooses people just like me and just like you. He searches far and wide to find someone whose heart is right before him so he can show his glory in the earth. Man, I was thinking just this afternoon coming over, those disciples as they walked with Jesus, how impressed they must have been with this man. And to me, I don't see him as a very solemn individual. He had his moments of anger in the temple when he drove everybody out. He had his moments of really agony in the garden. He had his moments of dealing with people who didn't believe, and the Pharisees and the scribes, and trying to put them in their place. But in general, the way I see him, when he's healing someone's little baby, I see someone full of zeal and someone with a zest for life, somebody that's hungry to see people healed and well, someone who is giving out of him. Virtue is flowing, life is flowing from him into someone else. Man, I just think I could crow like a rooster right now. I just feel the presence of God on the inside of me, wanting to flow from me into someone that would just reach out and take it. You're that kind of person also. We walk too much with our heads down and our tail between our legs and afraid, and I wonder if God, or I wonder if I have what it takes. And it's not about what you have, it's about him and what he has and the fact that he wants to use someone just like you. That's why our pastor is very confident today. He's very confident. Why? You know, I was talking to him last night, and probably the thing that shook him the most in this, and I can disclose this because it's not something that's embarrassing or anything like that, but he didn't have time to really pray about this and seek the mind of God about it. God, do you want me to do this or do you want me to do that? It happened so quickly, and it was kind of a shaking moment for a minute because he's such a man of prayer. Now, I'll be honest with you. I wasn't always a man of prayer. Is that okay if I'm honest with you? Can I even be more honest? I didn't actually like to pray. I would kind of pray in desperation, and I'd get on these little kicks about once or twice a year where I thought, well, I'm going to pray, and it would last about 30 minutes, and then it was over for another 6 months. And I would pray when I really had to, but I wasn't a person who craved prayer, and I didn't really understand the importance of prayer. I didn't understand the connection of prayer in my earth. I was a man of the Word. I loved the Word of God. I studied the Word of God. I could quote just chapters in the Bible at one point. I've kind of lost some of that, just not giving myself to that much anymore. But I love the Word of God. But I didn't really understand or put much emphasis on prayer. And I'll be honest with you, it affected my life greater than I thought it was affecting my life. But looking back retrospectively, I can see how it definitely affected my life. There's a lot of people in the world who don't have the Word like we have it, but they know how to pray. And so one day, my quick mind started looking around and watching people who not only had the Word, but added prayer to it. And I thought, these people are successful. There must be something to this prayer life. And this man, Jesus, I just see him as he walked full of life and joy. And I can see when he would heal that man. And the guy's just excited, and he's jumping, and he's running. Whoa. Don't tell nobody. It's not time. You know, not mad at anyone, not down and out, not depressed, creating depression everywhere he went. He brought life and vitality and vigor to every situation. Times of refreshing, this Bible says, come from the presence of God. Refresh, re means to do again. The word fresh comes from the Greek word vivir, which means to live. God wants to relive, relive, reactivate each and every one of us. And much of that happens when we get into the presence of God with prayer. Right? Okay. Now, so yesterday, we're trying to decide who's going to have the honors. Pastor Jacob is out of town. And you know, it's not just that anybody could get up here and preach. All of us have the ability to. We think, you know, maybe in our own minds we think we're pretty good at this, but we tell ourselves we're great. We got quite a big fan, and that's why we keep growing the church, so we have more people to cheer us on, you know, more preachers like ourselves. So if we can put 100 more locations, man, that's just more people that tell me how great I am. But everybody's trying to go and thinking about the Word and instant in season and out of season. And I had been thinking about this, kind of meditating on it for about a week, what I'm going to share with you tonight. Simply nothing more than the Lord's Prayer. And when Sue said, do you have anything? We've asked and we're talking and nobody really feels a connection. I said, I got it. I know exactly what we're going to talk about. Amen. So I'm putting my reputation out on the line tonight. Then I'm going to speak to you from God's Word. And I'm believing with all of my heart that it will inspire something, spark something on the inside of you so that you don't just go through this earth, this walk in drudgery and dragging your feet and wondering why God don't move, but you would know that you can be proactive in the move of God. You can be a champion of the things of God. You can be someone who, when you walk onto the stage of life, something is going to change. The environment will change. People's confidence would change. People will be drawn to you, not because of you and your dynamic personality, but because of something that's on the inside of you. Amen. Jesus had that way about him where he could just go by people and say, come on, go with me. And they just dropped everything and went with him. Man, I had to pay people to go with me. I'm getting there. Trick them somehow. Ice cream and pizza? But Jesus would just tag them and people were wanting to go with them. And he'd say, no, you can't come. You can't come. You stay where you are. I have a different work for you. We all have a different work. You understand that. A rich man in Mark chapter 10, Jesus said, I want you to come with me. And he couldn't go. He had too much stuff and he didn't want to give it up. And he walked away sad. Some historians say that was Barnabas. I think Barnabas finally made a good choice, don't you? Yeah. If it was really him. I hope it was Barnabas, because I would hate to think that that man had such potential and never gained anything from it. So his disciples that followed him were just ordinary guys, just people that were minding their own business where heaven invaded their life. Amen. They were just in their routine, their ups and downs of life, and trying to make a living and trying to raise a family and trying to find some measure of success in life. And heaven just invaded. How many would like to have an invasion from heaven? I mean a real encounter with God. I don't mean just play stuff and we're tired of going through the motions, but something that is so contagious that we don't have to have programs to build churches. We're so full of the presence of God that people are drawn to us. Have you ever thought that could be you in your mind? Have you ever let yourself wander there and think what it would be like that the manifested presence of God flowed through you wherever you went? Do you let yourself venture to just imagine that God could use your hands and your feet and your voice and your touch? And have you ever just dreamed that if I could just raise this one person up out of a wheelchair and say in Jesus' name and they get up and walk off, how wonderful that would be and how many people could just be attracted to the things of God? It would bring people out of curiosity, if nothing else. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with getting them in here by hook or crook. Just get them in. If they'd come for the loaves and fishes, I'm okay with that. We'll get them to the Word of God. We'll get them into a place where we can love on them and show them and tenderly guide them through life and express the love of God in their life. Somewhere we've got to get so close to God individually and so saturated with God's love that it completely drives all avenues and all aspects of fear from our lives. Because it's a fear of failure, fear of people, a fear of exposure, a fear of my inabilities that keep me from stepping out on the very promises of God's Word. It's just nothing more than fear. So we try to compensate that by being strong or getting hyped up or better praise and worship or whatever we try to do. We try to build ourselves and work ourselves up into some kind of an emotion where we can step out of our fear, where the thing that drives fear is nothing more than God's perfect love for your life. The fact that he likes you and loves you just like you are. He called you, and he's chosen to live on the inside of you. So let's look here in Luke chapter 11. I actually like this account better in Mark, but we're going to look at Luke chapter 11 because this is where the disciples ask him a question. Luke chapter 11, verse 1. One day, those of you out there watching us from all around the world, this is the Passion Translation. I promise you, you will love this Bible. Amen. Amen. One day as Jesus was in prayer, one day he was in prayer. Well, one time I was in prayer. You know, he was in prayer. This was his life. He was a man of prayer, seeking God's face and seeking God's presence. Yeah. One day as he was in prayer, one of his disciples came over to him as he was finished and said, "Would you teach us a model prayer that we may pray just like John did for his disciples?" So Jesus taught them this prayer. Now, you know the prayer. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And before I read it, it's really not the Lord's Prayer. It's a model on how to pray. The Lord's Prayer, actually, if you could find different places where he prayed at Lazarus' tomb. That was the Lord's Prayer. He prayed for Lazarus, me, only for the sake of the people. We can find John chapter 17 where he's praying for his disciples that were going to continue on with him, except the one they lost, but that wasn't really his fault because that was the man of the devil, and I was supposed to lose him, but the rest of them I didn't lose. Jesus is that mine or somebody else's? Amber Alert? Cool. Somebody checking in? I'm nervous now. What was that? It was a model on how to pray. And you know what? I'm going to spend a lot of time here tonight. I'm almost half over already, and I hadn't even got into my text, really, expounding upon something that I could spend weeks and make a series out of. And when they said, "Would you teach us to pray?" in one paragraph, he taught them effective prayer. He taught them effective prayer in just one paragraph. Now, that's not to say that he didn't expound upon this the rest of his days. Because as a matter of fact, he expounded multiple times over and over and over to them. John said there were so many things written about him and the things that he said that the books of this world would not contain it.
That's right.
Amen. He really talked a lot. He talked a lot. But as he taught them, it's so simple, this prayer. This one here in chapter 11. So Jesus taught them this prayer, our Heavenly Father. When I read the Word of God, I'd like to break it down just line by line, sentence by sentence, word by word. Jesus has introduced his disciples to his Father, and he said, our Heavenly Father. When you pray, you're coming to God on the basis of you're part of the family of God.
Amen.
You're not coming as some stepchild or someone outside of the family of God who, and I don't mean stepchild in a negative way. I'm using it like the way I was raised. We were taught like not part of the inheritance, but actually there's more of an inheritance there than there is with the real children, the way it's set up anymore. But you're coming on the basis of someone who is kind of on the outside looking in. That's not how Jesus taught them to pray. He said, our Heavenly Father. I'm going to revert now to the King James Version for just a moment because it's easy in my mind, and that's how most people quote it, which art in heaven. Not only are we talking to our Father, we're talking about a family relationship. We've also taken ourselves from earth's realm to heaven's realm. Which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Listen, guys, Jesus is teaching you how to pray where he's given you the very presence of God himself. He's given you the arsenal of heaven to use in your prayer life. You're standing one foot on the earth, and as you begin to pray, you're putting one foot in heaven, and you are the connecting link between heaven and earth.
Amen.
You are. You're the connecting link. We keep asking God to do something. We keep asking God to move on our behalf, and yet he said, if you just pray, our Heavenly Father, which art in heaven, you're connecting now heaven to earth, hallowed be thy will, thy kingdom come. I begin to put my prophetic tongue to the things of God, prophesying the word over my situation, prophesying the word over the people around me, prophesying the word over my business, and prophesying the word over my church, prophesying the word over my success, prophesying the word over my body, prophesying the word over the people around me. Jesus is teaching them how to pray to be effective like he was effective. And he didn't complicate it. It's so simple. Just come before him, our Heavenly Father.
Yeah.
Hallowed be your name. It's not about me or you or the name Victory Life or Pastor Dwayne Shira. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven. I promise you this. In heaven, things go God's way. I mean, wouldn't anybody disagree with that one? The devil thought he could change it. He got booted right out of heaven. Man, I bet God put one of the big old Justin boots right in his behind and sent him flying through the universe. You do know God wore cowboy boots, don't you? He had to. I'm persuaded he's the original cowboy. Booted him right out. This is what we're called to. We're called to be the people who call down the very presence of God. We call down the promises of God. We call into existence. We begin to be a part of the restoration process that he's trying to restore all things back to its original intent. And I thought, man, how lazy I've been on this thing. How lazy I've been. You know, just, yeah, we'll get to that one of these days. If we really had confidence in what Jesus said, if we really had confidence in what he said, when he said, teach us to pray, this is early in the ministry. They're not born again yet. Early in the ministry, he said, you don't know how I pray? Say, our Father. They know the scrutiny he's been getting already over calling God his Father. He's put them on the line. And I'm sure Peter's saying, our Father. You saw what happened to Jesus when he said, our Father. They run us out of town. They're not even children. They're not even born again yet. And already God is seeing their end from their beginning. You just say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. That's what God wants out of us. He wants us to bring the kingdom of God to earth. He wants us to be delivery boys, delivery women, ushering in the very presence of God, being effective in our school boards and our city councils, and being effective in our home churches, and being effective in our life groups and our jobs and on our businesses and in the grocery store and the people that we see every day that's down and out, downtrodden and out. He wants us to just be effective and pray and begin to listen to the leading of the Holy Spirit. You don't get there overnight. You're going to make some mistakes in this process, learning to hear the voice of God. It's not something you just grow up on overnight. And so you start off with one foot on earth and one foot in heaven. And if you're not careful and you keep doing that long enough, you're like an Enoch. You were here, now you're not. Caught up into the very presence of God. Or Elijah that was caught up into the presence of God. Or Jesus who went into a state where he was transfigured right before their eyes in the very presence of God. And they could see Elijah and Moses and recognize them. See, when heaven reveals itself to you, there's something on the inside of you that gives you the ability to recognize it. They didn't have a family photo of Moses and Elijah. They had never seen them. And when they saw them, they said, it's Moses and Elijah. How'd they know that? How did they know that? Same way Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and the voice of a stranger they won't follow. There's something on the inside of you that when you hear something that's genuine and it comes from God, it resonates on the inside of you. There's a connection made. It's His Spirit bearing witness with your spirit, and they're fusing together. And you get to a point where you're not sure if it's you or God. They're so closely connected, you can just say, rise up and walk. Well, did God tell you to do that? I'm not sure, but they rose up and walked.
That's right.
Won't that be fun? Wouldn't that be fun? Can you see walking with Jesus and not having fun? Can you see them on those dirty roads and they're healing this person and people have been down and raising little babies to life and somebody's not excited and screaming and screeching and hallelujah, Jesus. Huh? Well, listen, He's walking with you today. Say, I love. I don't care. Brother Mark. Brother Mark. Don't look at me like, man, you're just getting way out there.
That's good. That is good.
Even you in the center section up there, I'm talking to you too. Took me a long time to work out of the top to the bottom. I'm teasing. Teach us to pray. We want to be successful like you. And he took them through this simple prayer. Let's go back over into, we're just not going to get anywhere. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Here it is. Talking about prayer again. Now, we call this a Sermon on the Mount, and we see this as a time when Jesus sat down and just talked. What I'm going to read to you is the same thing he said in Luke chapter 11, but they had asked him a question. So in Matthew 6, you're only seeing it from Jesus' perspective. You're not hearing the feedback, but there was feedback. They were asking him questions, and he was answering their questions. It wasn't just like he went up there and just began to talk off the top of his head. He usually responded to someone's need or the questions that they had. And you know what? I've been thinking about this a lot too, and I thought about how much wisdom you take a church like this. We've been under the word for so long. Such good, rich word, and such a variety of people that preach and teach things, and sometimes we may even seem to contradict ourselves, but it's really not such a contradiction as much as it is a different perspective of the same subject. See, Jesus was full of grace and truth, and he had the Spirit without measure. Well, I'm a partially full of grace and truth. I have a little grace, a little truth, and a little of the Spirit, and I'm trying to grow in all of it. Yeah. Mark the same, Lee the same, all of you the same way. And so when we start bringing our different perspectives to the table, we start seeing something a little different. And the body of Christ must quit this nitpicking one another over our little trivial differences. I'm on this particular group. It's a particular board, and one of the persons on the board made a post on social media a couple of weeks ago and just really ragging a lady who President Trump has taken in under into his confidence and allowing her to put together all these evangelists. And her name is Paula White. You're probably familiar with her. She's different than some other women. I don't have no problem with her, but okay, she's out there and she's, but this particular group, they just criticized her. They ragged her. They all about how wicked and evil. And I'm thinking, I thought, my God, we finally have a president that will listen to evangelicals. We finally have a president that will pray publicly. We finally have a president that will allow these people to lay their hands on him and pray for him. But because she didn't do it their way, they're bent out of shape. Boy, you talk about some righteous indignation. It was all I could do not to sin on Facebook. Well, I had to really struggle. I struggled with it, I promise you. I thought, man, I ought to just blast you smooth out of the water here, but I didn't. I'm just so full of love and mercy and grace and so easy to get along with. I just couldn't make myself do it. Jesus did everything so different than everyone else had been used to doing things. He ate with people you weren't supposed to eat with. He went places you weren't supposed to go. They didn't even wash their hands sometimes when they'd eat dinner. And, oh, my God, can you believe that? You ought to live out on the cow farm, the ranch with us. I'm telling you what. What's on your hand? Yeah, that's not good. I promise you, not much different than that. Y'all think I'm lying, don't you? I'm not lying. All right. Now, so he's answering their question. This is the same thing, but he says it a little different. I really like how he says it. We're in chapter 6, verse number 5. Whenever you pray, be sincere. Isn't that simple? This is how Jesus was actually talking. He didn't talk in King James. He didn't talk in the Passion Translation either. He just talked the way they talked, the way you would sit down and talk to your children or your parents or your friends or something like that. And Jesus said, when you pray, be sincere. The formulas aren't as important as the sincerity.
That's right.
We went through a time when people would talk about people being sincerely wrong, but they were trying to teach us all the formulas. Well, I got the formula now. We need to get back to the sincerely part. Not just thinking the formula is a magic wand. There's something that comes from the heart that's way more magical, if you will, than the formulas.
Yeah.
There's something serious about it. There's something real about that. If you were to take David, a man after God's own heart, Psalms 13, his first line in the Passion Translation is, I'm hurting God. I remember when I would have been afraid to have prayed that. Well, that's not faith.
Yeah.
So I would ignore, hide, sweep under the rug, try to be strong in my own self. David just comes out and says, I'm hurting. I don't understand. How long are you going to ignore me?
Yes.
Have you ever felt like God ignored you? What would be wrong with telling him? Say, God, are you mad at me? Or did I do something wrong? Is this a test?
Yeah.
Why am I not hearing what you're trying to tell me? Because I know you wish good for me. But when he would pray like that, he didn't stay there. He would pray himself through that. And within a few verses, he said, but I'll tell you this thing. When God does show up, I promise you this, everybody better watch out, because the gates of heaven are going to open and I'm going to see my just reward. It makes me want to pray. I'm getting better at it, I promise you. So be sincere and not like the pretenders who love the attention they receive while praying before others in the meetings and on street corners. Believe me, they've already received in full their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your innermost chamber and be alone with the Father. See, we can even take simple teachings like this and mess them up. We're afraid, oh my God, I think they heard me pray. I won't get my answer now. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about quality time with God and not trying to parade it around and trying to be heard. But if someone hears you, it doesn't disannul your prayer. If someone sees you put your offering in and knows how much you gave, it doesn't nullify it. It's just, he said, just don't do it to be seen, to be showy, or to be flashy. That's all he's saying. And yet, we have this tendency to go from one extreme to another extreme. It's kind of like adjusting the thermostat. How many of you like your house, say, at 68 degrees? That's me. I'm a 68 degree guy. You get it much hotter than that, I am sweating like a dog. I'm or a hog or something. I'm sweating. But if it's a little off, you don't just go up there and push it up to 90 because you're a little chilly. Or you don't, if you're a little warm, you don't just push it down to 40. You take it a step at a time. Otherwise, you're just up and down, up and down, up and down, up. Can't ever get it right. That's how God wants it. He wants us to be more balanced in life. He wants us to be people that have both balance in word, balance in spirit, balance in relationship, balance in work, balance in time off. And I need help there. Anybody else say amen if you're like me there? I know it. I'm trying. And your Father who sees all you do will reward you openly. When you pray, there's no need to repeat empty phrases. There's nothing wrong with repetition when you pray. He's talking about empty repetition. Just saying it for the sake of more saying. There's nothing wrong. I repeat myself constantly in prayers. As a matter of fact, we won't have time to get there, but we can get to Luke 17 or Luke 18, and we can go to Matthew 11, and we can see where he talked about seek and keep on seeking and knocking, keep on knocking and ask and keep on asking. Be very persistent in your faith walk. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 18, he said, you just keep praying and be persistent. And when the Lord comes, will he find persistence in faith? That's what he's looking for, persistence. He lets us go through things and he delays for some reason sometimes, and I don't always know why, or things just get delayed. My fault, your fault, nobody's fault, I don't know. But he's looking for persistence in faith when he eventually arrives, and he will show up. So he says right here, don't worry about empty phrases, praying like those who don't know God. But you know God. Why do you know him? He's your Father. And you don't have to just, oh God, help me, oh God, oh help me, help me. Just say what you want. Believe he's heard you. When you pray, believe you receive, and you shall have it. When you pray, believe you receive. Receive now, have later. Sometimes in our efforts to quicken things or get ahead, we forget even the laws. And in our, probably one of the things that's hurt us to some degree in our understanding is miracles. You say, how could miracles hurt us? Well, they're great. Miracles are great if you need one. But if someone gets a miracle and it happens instantaneously, and we think that's how it's supposed to be, and then we don't get one, we somehow have a tendency to throw out the laws of sowing and reaping. Again, we're back to balance. I love miracles, but if I don't get a miracle, I'm going to see it as a seed sown, a crop grown. And how does that work? First the blade, then the ear. After that, the full corn in the ear. Then we put in the sickle and the harvest is done. Amen. So miracles can be a detriment if we don't understand things, God. But it can be such a blessing once we learn that sometimes God really shows out. I think he wants to show out. I think he wants to do great things for us. I think he's just been waiting on people bold enough to lay their reputations down and step out and call things that are not as though they were. And do things that are unthinkable, unspeakable, and things that people think can't be done. Huh? Yeah, amen. All right. For they expect God to hear them because of their many words. There is no need to emulate them, since your Father already knows what you need before you ask. Pray like this. So he's answering their question. Pray like this. Our Father, dwelling in the heavenly realms, may the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. May the glory of your name be the center on which our lives turn. So we're consumed with him. Manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth, just as it is fulfilled in heaven. We acknowledge you as our provider of all we need each day. Forgive us the wrongs we have done as we ourselves release forgiveness to those who have wronged us. Listen, you can read on. If you don't forgive, your Father won't forgive. There's a lot of things in there that I don't have time to go into. But listen, God forgives all of us before we forgive anyone. You do realize that. This is a teaching that goes beyond that. And one of the things you have to be very careful when you're studying the Word of God, don't take something you know and throw it away when you come against something you don't know or understand. Take the revelation that you have, keep it, guard it with all diligence. When Abraham met with God, and God came down and the torch came and walked between the sacrifices, before that happened, the vultures came, and he had to keep the vultures shooed away. We call it shooed. I don't know what you would call it. Get out, you know, like you would a dog. Remember, I'm from Oklahoma, so don't be laughing at me. So he kept them, ran off. That's a better word. I can say that. Sometimes you have to protect the prayer. You have to protect the faith walk. You have to protect your vision, your dream, your idea. Because something is trying to steal it away from you. Snatch it right out of your grasp. And you have to protect it. So our Father, he's praying, and this is exactly what he's praying. Rescue us every time we face tribulation. Every time we face tribulation, come to our rescue and set us free from evil. Do you know what? I was thinking about this one. Rescue us every time we face tribulation. We sit there and we pray, God, why aren't you helping me? God, why aren't you helping me? Why don't you care? Nobody cares. And we give up on our prayer life. What if we gave him something to work with? See, in Mark chapter 16, he sent them out. In the King James Version, there's a word that's in italics. What that means is, in the original text, the word was not in. So the translator added the word in italics to help enhance our understanding. Sometimes it's good and sometimes not so good. So he sends them out, Mark chapter 16. Go into all the world, you know, this, and you put them all together. And I may get them confused as to which is which here for just a moment. And add Matthew 28 and Mark 16, Luke, whatever, all together. But you're going to lay hands on sick, cast out devils, et cetera, et cetera. And this, here's where it goes. And it says, and the Lord went with them, confirming the words with signs following. The word them is in italics. So God wasn't as much working with them as he was working with the word. So if you take the word them out, which you can do that at your discretion because someone else put it in at their discretion, and if you said it like this, so the Lord went with and worked with the word, confirming signs following. You know what that tells me? He don't care your gender. He don't care your age. He don't care your race, your nationality. He doesn't care how much money you have. He doesn't care what your IQ is, whether you wear glasses or don't wear glasses, have hair or don't have hair. He don't care if you're 6'5" or 5'5". He don't care. If you speak the word, he is watching over his word to confirm it and bring it to pass. So if you were to say this, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Deliver me from depression. Deliver me from anxiety. Deliver me from the inability to sleep. Deliver me. What do you think might happen? Jesus was successful doing this. Yeah. Do you think possibly you could be successful too? Amen. Well, I think you can. Yeah. And you know what? Our pastor's depending on it. He's Amen. Depending on you right now to be successful in your prayer life. And I only say this to say, I only said that to say this. There's going to be somebody close in your family one of these days that's going to be dependent on you to know how to pray. There's going to be someone that's dependent on you to call fire out of heaven when the doctors have given you up for dead. A few years ago, three or four, a friend of mine was in the hospital, and he and I talked to him about the Lord all the time. You know, and he's one of those guys, he's rough and didn't go to church, so I don't really know all of his background. We never got that deep. But I said, man, the Lord, I said, I tell you about this radio station. He's a truck driver. I said, listen to this, and I'll give you some tapes of Pastor Dwayne, and you can listen to those. And he said, man, the Lord talk all the time. And I just kind of blew it off, you know, how people talk. Well, I got in his truck one day to move it. He had it at my place and left it. And sure enough, he had that radio set to that Christian station listening to those preachers. Now, I didn't like none of those preachers on there, but they were better than nothing. You know what I mean? So I'm not going to criticize them too bad. At least they were on the radio. I mean, it wasn't going to teach him a whole lot about success, but it was going to help some. But he ended up getting hurt, and he's in the ICU in Dallas, and we go to see him. And I sent word to his wife, and I said, would you like for us to come pray for him? Her response was, no. Okay. I'm thinking this, if that little lady ever says no, or if she's in sick and I say no, you know there's something wrong in the camp. See, that's why I don't want to be dependent on people like that. I want people who have such confidence in prayer and they're not running from God, but running to God, that when you say, would you pray? You bet I'll pray in Jesus' name. And grab your hand and almost jerk your arm out of its socket trying to get their hands on you. That's what we need. Chase, we need some enthusiasm in the things of God. We need some people that are attacking sin, attacking poverty, attacking depression, dope addiction. You're not going to cure the opioid epidemic by suing the people who make the pills. They'll just go up. Now, you have a lot of money in your pocket, but it's not going to fix anybody that's actually. Jesus said, I'll teach you how to pray. Take that simple prayer and apply it to your life. It will fit any need you have. You can ingest your own words in it. You can put your own phrases to it. You can take it and you can put, no matter what you're going through, whether it be your marriage, your finances, your job, your business, your vision, your vocation, your vocabulary. I could use that one. No matter what you put in it, you use that model and keep that model sound and true to how God intended. I promise you, if it don't work, I'm not like a, who was it said they're going to pay all that money back if it, the tithes? Who made that? That was at Durant the other day. Remember who that was? He said if it didn't work, he'd give everybody their money back. I said, I'm glad you said that. I'm not going there. I mean, if you try this and it don't work, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. Just keep trying. Don't come to me. I didn't write it. Go to God. This worked. We saw it in your eyes. I saw it in little Tucker. I've saw it so many times in our family, and we've had things come, things go, things try to come back. And you just have to reapply the word, reapply the prepare. Just keep going, keep going, keep going. Don't give up. Don't back up. Don't back away. Amen. Mark, come on up. Amen. You love God? Give him a hand.